Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You know, Cole, this weekend's slate of games kind of reminds me, and we all know this kind of place, the restaurant that you go to that you know has a fairly large menu, but they really do one or two things exceptionally well. And that's all you ever order at those at that restaurant is like one of two things, because in both our noon and 3:30 time slots, Cole, there's really only two good games in each of those time slots. I mean, and I don't want to be disingenuous and waste our time going like deep in some of the non-ranked matchups that we have.
Right.
But 7 o'clock, though, that's when things start getting pretty good tomorrow and brings in a little more local interest. What we do in this segment every Friday at 5 o'clock, we go down the tastiest games in each time slot of the college football slate tomorrow. And we say, hey, if we could only watch one game in that time slot, which game would it be? Now, Cole's got fancy YouTube TV where you can watch four games at the same time. But pretend for a second you don't have that.
Are we going to start tonight, by the way?
If you want, we can start tonight.
But you mentioned the restaurant with one, you know, the
same. Are you hungry now?
Kind of. I'm just curious if there's anything worth looking at. There's one ranked team, South Florida. In South Florida, they're not really a ranked team. I mean,
well,
somebody has to be 24, right? So they're just giving it to South Florida. They play North Texas.
North Texas is 5-0, though.
It's true.
Here's the thing.
True.
North Texas is 5-0, and I saw something yesterday. I almost put it on the Daily Wires, but I didn't. North Texas sold out their stadium for the first time since, like, 2016 for this
really?
Game. Yeah.
That's big time, because they're not known as a football school, you know?
No.
I think they're known for, like, band, other things, you know, and 5-0 is a big deal, in the American Conference, at least.
Yeah, so this may actually be a sneaky, really good football game. I just always question what the atmosphere is like at stadiums that aren't used to selling out. You know, it's like at Duke, you watch a game for, like, Duke basketball, and those students know what to do every single second of every single play, but are the fans who are going to this North Texas game, are they going to know that this is the chant we do on first down, this is what we do on in the fourth quarter, that kind of thing?
You're right. Looking at it, to your point, Rutgers, Washington might be okay, but I don't think anything. I mean, like, they'll be worth having on, right?
Sure.
In the background.
Sure. It's definitely going to be worth having on, but you won't be watching it because you are going to be calling a game, which may be a better football game, to be honest.
Could be.
Let's go to the noon slot tomorrow, Cole. Kind of the appetizer. This is what gets you going for the day. In the noon slot, you got two really good football games, and this is going to be hard to pick from. Number one, Ohio State at number 17, Illinois. So you got the best team in the land going on the road against a pretty good football team. And then you've got number eight, Alabama on the road at Missouri. Might be one of the most fun college football teams and programs right now in a phenomenal SEC environment. We saw it a couple of weeks ago when South Carolina was there.
Alabama-Missouri's up there just because of their resurgence, right, in the last few weeks. What was the first one you said, though?
Ohio State-Illinois.
Illinois, yeah. I just want to know, I guess in that game, you kind of feel like after Ohio State's been through the Minnesotas of the world, and no disrespect to the Big Ten, but we talked about it yesterday. Like, their schedule's not great. Penn State, you know, they'll play Penn State later on. They don't play Oregon. So this is one of the few opportunities this year where we kind of watch this game with Ohio State and think, okay, they're 5-0, 2-0 in conference, but are they really going to be tested? To your point, Illinois 17 in the country, but Diesel, Ohio State still favored by 14.5 points. Luke Altmaier's a good quarterback. I don't know if Luke Altmaier's in the same conversation as, you know, Julian Sain, who's been really good as well, but you're talking about a 1,500-yard quarterback, 12 touchdowns, Luke Altmaier, at home, right, in Illinois. I would like to see a good game here. To your point, there aren't a ton tomorrow that you look at and salivate over, but you would like to think, man, that Illinois, like, if you can't give Ohio State a game, what's that tell you about this conference?
That's true. That tells you that maybe they're pumping up these Illinois and these Indianas a little more than they deserve. And maybe that changes things next year or next week. And, you know, not as willing to give these teams the benefit of the doubt. Before we move on to the 3:30 time slot, Cole, we have a sighting. One of the Tolos that we have been looking for.
No way.
For days and days and days. We haven't heard from this Tolo in a while. It's time to bring on the one, the only, Tom in Somerville.
Wow. No way.
He's still alive. He's still with us. The Gators haven't got him. Tom, where you been?
Hey, guys. It's a busy time of year, so I've been real busy.
Too busy for us?
What are you doing? No. It takes two minutes to call, Tom.
I know. Sometimes I don't get to leave the office at 5. You know, been busy. And then
our show's on till 7.
I know. I left work some days this week at 7:30, okay? You know, it's been a bye week, so I've been working a lot. But, hey, Tom is back. Tom is ready to watch the Gamecocks. And you know what? I might be wrong, but I just got a feeling. Shane Beamer and LeHosman are going to go down to Baton Rouge and get a victory. The Gamecocks are going to leave Baton Rouge with a victory.
All right.
I want to know, confident. Tom, if he's still there, what have you seen from the offense and the run game in particular that gives you hope and faith? That gives you this confident feeling that they're going to go down. Look, I know LSU's offense hadn't been good either, but we're talking about making this about South Carolina here. What kind of confidence? Where are you getting this confidence from?
You know, I don't know, Cole. I don't know where it's coming from. Because there's nothing that's on the field that shows me the Gamecocks are going to go down there and win. I just got that Friday feeling that the Gamecocks are going to go down to Baton Rouge and win. I might wake up tomorrow and feel completely different. Maybe it's that it's 5:08 on a Friday and the weekend is here. I don't know what it is, but I just got that feeling deep inside of me that the Gamecocks are going to shock the world tomorrow.
Okay.
Hey, Tom, yeah. I'm going to try this here for a second. I don't know if this is going to work because normally we have to do this on our computer screen, but my phone system on my computer screen is kind of messed up. We have another Tolo on the line who wants to talk to you, but I don't know for sure if I'm going to be able to lock you on, so I might lose you. But okay. if we do, turn your radio back on, be listening, because this next Tolo has some words for you. So hang on just one second. I'm going to try achieve something here. We're going to try to lock
Tom. Make
sure
you cross the wires. Cross the wires. The red wire. The red wire.
Here we go. Tolo number two is on the air. Tolo number two, what do you have to say to Tom?
Oh, Tom, it's about time you came back. It's been cold around here.
I've been busy, man.
Yeah, me too.
No, you haven't, Dewey.
It's a busy time of the year watching football and drinking beer and watching sports.
Hey, that's all we can do during, you know, we got football on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, it's hard to find time to do things when you got games on every single night.
Yeah.
And you got baseball. You know, you got it all right now.
It's like a Beatles song, 8 days a week.
A lot of watch. The Braves ain't playing, so that takes care of that. But then watching the playoffs and the Yankees going down, and too bad the Dodgers didn't go down, but that's okay too. But the Phillies went down in very embarrassing fashion last night.
That's right. The Mariners are winning the World Series, Dewey. The Mariners are winning it all.
Yes.
Hey, Tom, we appreciate you, and don't be a stranger, man. Get your pick in next week.
I do want to say this. The best quarterback in the Big Ten plays football at Indiana. The discussion's over.
It's fair.
The best quarterback in the Big Ten plays at Indiana, but the whole conference sucks. There's three good teams in the Big Ten. That's all
it
is.
Appreciate the call, Tom.
I love that. Tom in Somerville.
And sorry about that. We accidentally dropped Dewey as well.
Accidentally.
Call it an accident if you want.
Right, Dewey, Diesel. Accidentally.
So, now, some of our Tolos may be saying that's a kindness. Some of the Tolos who are listening to that.
I didn't know. Look, I was worried. Like, you have the dump button. I don't. I was worried where that conversation was going to go between Tom and Somerville and Dewey, but it stayed on the rails,
Isn't it funny? Tom is the eternal optimist.
Yeah.
Dewey is the eternal pessimist. So it's like Batman versus Joker, a rock and a hard place.
That's right. You know what? That was maybe the funniest answer. I asked Tom Diesel, you were answering the phone. I said, "What?" He said, "We're going to go beat LSU." I said, "What have you seen on offense that leads you to believe that?" He said, "Nothing. I've seen absolutely nothing.
Hope and a prayer."
Yep. Right. He just got that Friday feeling inside his bones is what he said.
You got to get it sometimes.
We appreciate the phone call, Tom. Good to hear from
you.
Like
Gloria Estefan said, sometimes the rhythm is going to get you.
That's right.
Cole, let's move on with our weekend menu to the 3:30.
What do we decide was the best game in that slot?
So it's Alabama-Illinois versus Alabama-Missouri versus Ohio State-Illinois.
Which one are you going?
I think Ohio State's going to beat the living tar. Out of the Illini. I don't think it's going to be particularly close.
Yeah, you might be right, Diesel. I just ultimately kind of feel similar to Alabama-Mizzou. I think Alabama covers the 2.5-point spread on the road.
Look at you. Coming around on Kalen DeBoer.
I know. I think he's the best thing ever. What are you talking about?
Stand up. Do you have a Kalen DeBoer patch on your shirt somewhere? Is he buying advertising on your clothing, Cole?
Not yet.
Let's move on here to the 3:30, 4:30 segment. You got number 7, Indiana, at number 3, Oregon. Number 6, Oklahoma, at Texas in the Cotton Bowl Classic in Dallas. And then, Cole, just because I think it's fun to say, you got VT versus GT in the ATL.
And I'm supposed to pick one?
And here's the problem. Indiana's got to do all that brutal West Coast, westerly travel, so that might not be a close game. Oklahoma looks like John Mateer is going to play, so they may beat the tar out of Texas in Dallas.
No, I think I'm going to go with the Red River rivalry still here. I do like Indiana-Oregon because, you know, I've been really high on Dante Moore with Oregon, 14 touchdowns, one interception, only 34 incompletions this season, Diesel. And then just as high as I've been on Dante Moore, Fernando Mendoza, to Tom's point, has been just as good, if not better, 16 touchdowns to one interception, 89 of 122 on the season. He's been terrific. So this one's tough, but I think just because of, like, tradition, I'm going to go with Oklahoma, Texas, but I would love to keep an eye at the same time on that Oregon-Indiana game. That could be a lot of fun.
Well, you know, John Mateer is quote-unquote back. It seems like he's going to play, but we won't know until he gets hit and, you know, takes a shot in that hand just how healthy that hand really is and how quick that repair to that broken bone has been. I mean, if John Mateer gets knocked back out of this game and he's playing against what appears to be an extremely mediocre Arch Manning, can Oklahoma's backup go get it done? What's Oklahoma's backup name? He was starting there last year, and his name escapes me right now.
Yeah, I let me ask you this question, Diesel. Does it feel like to you and Tolos out there that that John Mateer came back super quick from that hand injury.
I get why you want to come back. Come on, it's the Red River Shootout. But like,
I get it, but goodness gracious, didn't it feel like he just got injured?
Yeah.
I don't know,
yeah,
man.
It just happened.
That's what I'm saying. So that kind of – like that hand injury intrigues me. It's terrible to say, but now I'm really, really interested in seeing if he can come back and heal that quickly.
It's sophomore Michael Hawkins Jr., by the
Michael
way.
Michael Hawkins.
If I recall correctly, he was like a 4 or 5 star. So he's
gotcha.
On paper a really Probably good quarterback. So, yeah. He just got thrust in there into a situation he was not going to be successful in last yeah. year. Let's move on to the 7 o'clock time slot. Again, if you could only watch one game in this time slot, which one would it be? This is where it gets tough because there's like 5 really good games in this time slot. You got Florida at Texas A&M. Could Florida do it again, get another big-time upset? You got Georgia on the road at Auburn, Michigan on the road at Southern Cal, Clemson at Boston College, and then South Carolina at LSU.
Gosh, that's tough, Diesel, to your point there. Oh, man. South Carolina, LSU, look, we all know locally that draws a big interest because of where we are, but you mean to tell me you were not watching Marcel Reed versus DJ Lagway at 7 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's going to be intriguing, right? I think the Texas Tech game could be better than people think in Lubbock with number 9 Texas Tech and Jalen Daniels, a good Kansas team in the Big 12. Georgia, Auburn, meh. Clemson, BC, like you mentioned, South Carolina, LSU. So let me tell you this. Diesel, I want South Carolina, LSU to be the game I want to watch. However, in Tiger Stadium Saturday night, Diesel, on the SEC Network, if I have to watch another putrid rushing attack for South Carolina, I can't do it. I just can't. Like, there's nothing, as a football junkie, there's nothing that pains me more to sit there and watch an offense that just can't run the football. It drives me crazy. So, I feel like that's what we're going to get. I kind of lean Florida A&M. Florida's trying to get back to 500. There's a few good ones there, though. To your point, USC-Michigan's not a terrible game. 2 1-loss teams, right?
Maybe the question is, of these 5 games, which is the most likely to be a 1-score game or less midway through the fourth quarter?
I'd say USC-Trojans. Yeah, I think the Trojans. I think that could be a close game, man. I really do.
Man, and now they got me thinking about what would it be like to have Jamie Chadwell in Los Angeles. That was reported by On3 Sports earlier today, by the way. Not that he is interviewing for the job, but they just threw his name out there as a candidate. We'll get a little we'll get into that a little bit later on in the 5:45 segment. We're going to move our Daily Wires to that segment. And then finally, Cole, I don't know if you have much interest in this one at all. Maybe you're going to be stuffed and you're not going to want to watch any more football at this point. But the Sam Levittless Arizona State at Utah is kind of the only good football game in that 10 o'clock slot. So it might be a weekend to hit the bed early.
You had to bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had to bring that up. You had to bring that up. By the way, Diesel, the spread on that game has now moved to 9.5 points.
Oh,
it started out at 6.5.
Oh my. Now the question is, do they win? Will they win the game? It's can they cover the old spread?
That's so when it opened at 6.5. It dropped to 5.5. Mm-hmm. A lot of Tolos took it in the upset picks challenge, including myself, because we thought, oh, Sam Levitt and Arizona State's better than Utah, right? And then what happens? We hear that Sam Levitt's not playing. It drops 4 points. Or it goes, it moves up from 5.5 to 9.5. I'll tell you what, man, that game is still intriguing to me. I know it's at Utah, but the reality of it is Arizona State's still a good football team. I wish I wouldn't have taken that game in my upset picks challenge, but here we are, and I guess, you know, we'll look forward to next week when it comes to upset picks.
Yep, that's it. That is your weekend menu.
Let's go. I like
love
it,
man. It's hard. You know, I've tried watching, and a texter did point out that the ESPN app on streaming now does allow for the four game split. Here's the problem with that. It doesn't let you pick what 4 games you want to watch, so you're stuck with their pre-curated groups of games. So, like, you know, I'm an App State fan. I would want to watch, for example, if all these games were on at the same time, I would want to watch Florida A&M Clemson, BC, South Carolina, LSU, and App State, Georgia State. I would want to watch those four games. The problem is I can't choose that App State, That's Georgia right. State, and put it in that four-way split. They say it's coming to the app, but it's not there yet.
YouTube TV, it took a long time for YouTube TV to get that way to where you could customize the four. But, Diesel, it's time to talk Furman football. We do it several times a week on this show. We cover Furman, obviously, because we're the flagship for Furman football, and you'll hear that game tomorrow in Western right here on the Fan Upstate. But it's time to talk Furman football next with the man, the myth, the legend, head ball coach Clay Hendricks next on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We talk Furman Paladins football right here in the upstate, Spartanburg, Greenville, Anderson, with head coach Clay Hendricks of Furman football. And man, what a big win, 31-22 over the weekend with ETSU. Coach, going to get into that win on Saturday at Paladin Stadium. Also going to get into the Western Carolina matchup this weekend as well. But I want to start off with an oddity, Coach, is someone who lives and breathes football like you do. Diesel and I are in a similar category where we have to talk sports 4 hours a day, and we do get to shut off our brains at certain points of the week. How long do you think you go? Like, what's the longest time span Clay Hendricks goes in a week without thinking about football?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know. I think probably when I get home in the evening, and it's different kind of each day, you don't probably think about it as much the time you go to bed. But I think you probably wake up thinking about it. So I don't know. Probably a couple of hours there. We had a couple of days we go early, so I try to get into bed a little sooner. So I don't know. Two or three hours a day probably is probably the extent of the length. And I'm sure it even pops in your mind at that time, too.
Yeah. Coach, that's a hard question to follow, man. That's a really good question. I'm going to try to ask you one that's maybe half as interesting as that one. You know, we've heard a lot of people in the media this week complaining about this crazy travel that we're seeing in the Big Ten now, right? Like teams having to go all the way from the East Coast all the way out to the West Coast and how it affects them. But for you and the Furman Paladins and in the Southern Conference, the way Furman is situated in this conference, it's almost the exact opposite. Like you're staying right here close to home. How does it better or benefit a team to only have to go, you know, an hour or so up the road to get to Cullowhee or, you know, 30 minutes north to get to Wofford on a week-by-week basis?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I've always been appreciative that we're kind of centrally located. You know, we're actually same day. We never same day the Western trip until I came back in 2017. We started same day in the trip. Hmm. And I think it's been good. We've played well there, you know, and obviously the Wofford, we've same day at East Tennessee State. You know, so that is nice. If you're on the outskirts, it makes it a little more challenging. I know we had kind of a brutal travel schedule last year between going to Ole Miss and going to Williamsburg as non-conference games. Hmm. You know, and then some years we catch a little bit longer trips for us, but absolutely. And then I think the killers, those I'm a hater of the Saturday night games, especially on the road, because you're in a hotel all day on Saturday, and then you know, who knows when you're gonna get home, you know, depending on what kind of trip you have coming back. And you know, and it I'm in my world, it's you know, the budget plays in there too, so a little cheaper for us to do that. And I still probably wouldn't do it if I felt like it hurt us in a way. But tomorrow, for instance, we'll do everything just like a home game on Friday at home. And then we'll get up and we'll actually go up on Saturday. We'll go up above Asheville and eat pregame meal. Because it's really about an hour and maybe 40-minute trip total. You know, sometimes you do a little bit of traffic stuff that you can't totally control. But it's been a good formula for us, and our kids seem to like it too.
We're talking to Clay Hendricks, the head football coach of the Furman Paladins. 4-1 now on the season, winners of three straight. You look at the 31-22 win last Saturday on Family Weekend at Paladin Stadium in Greenville, Coach. Man, what a tight game, you know, a tight conference game, right, as you come to know, come to expect. But, man, the Furman Paladins, when it mattered in the fourth quarter, 14 points in the fourth quarter compared to ETSU, 0 points. What was that extra oomph that allowed you guys to have that fourth quarter you did on Saturday?
Well, you know, I think we've been getting a little better each week. I think we've played pretty consistent all year. You know, a little disappointing how we played in the first half. You know, I felt like we did everything we could to try to beat Furman there a few times with some things that we had to clean up. But I don't know. I think we got a group that just kind of sticks together. I mean, there's just been something about them on the sideline. Nobody, you know, it's kind of taken all three phases, and everybody seems to, you know, we're going to find a way to get it done. You know, and we had to get stops, you know, had to move the ball, and, you know, certainly to come out the second half and give up a big play on the first play of the second half was not what we talked about all at halftime. But maybe the most important drives of the whole game was answering that one big play. We came back with a great drive to go keep it a one-score game. You know, so I don't know. I think it's just a little confidence, a little belief in our team, and just we've been in a bunch of those games, so it's not like the first time we've been in that situation.
Coach, you know, you've mentioned to us a couple times last year when we had you on, and so far a few times already this season, about, you know, just needing this team to grow up a little bit from where they were last year to going into this year. How pleasantly surprised are you that maybe some of the struggles you dealt with last year have really kind of set this team up to be in a place to be mentally tough in these kind of close ball games, because you've had a bunch of those already?
Well, I certainly thought we'd be better. I mean, you know, I got asked today. We did a little TV preview with a group doing the game on Saturday, and somebody asked me where I thought we were better, what we were better at. And I said, we're better at everything. Mm. I said, we had to be better because we weren't good at anything a year ago. I literally, during the summer, I thought we were pretty good net punting and we were pretty good red zone defense. I couldn't find anything else I thought we were very good at, you know. And but I just think we're kind of, you know, it's age and maturity and then certainly getting a little confidence. But you know, now you're not sure how you're going to handle those close games. You know, you could be a lot better and still not win games.
But I thought we'd be better. Our kids went to work. I thought we had some talent. You know, it was a little bit of a, again, we were dealt a little tough hand a year ago and probably didn't handle it as well as we should have. But been really pleased with the job our staff's done and our team. And, you know, you go win a big game, you get to go play in another big game. And we like playing in big games. This is certainly a big one this week.
Coach, for those that were not at the game Saturday, can you walk us through in your best way possible what happened at the end of the game? You know, less than five to play. It's a tight ball game, 25-22. You guys are on top. They have the football. Jordan Miller, 95-yard interception. You guys go up 33-21, and that's pretty much the icing on the cake. What was it about that drive? Talk us through kind of what made that drive possible, that interception possible, and how you guys were able to execute that.
Well, you know, it started with, you know, we were there, and we had a chance. We were down six before that, down six, and headed down there fourth and three, and I decided to go for it instead of thinking. I kept thinking we'd still get the ball back. Didn't make it. We did get stopped and certainly had the drive, hit the pass to go down and go up and had to kick it to them. They had 4 minutes to go. And, you know, their quarterback, you know, they played, you know, they had the two quarterbacks, the kid from Michigan. You know, they had led Michigan to the college football playoffs a couple of years ago. And then the kid from North Carolina. And we kind of got after the Michigan guys, more of a pocket guy. They made the change. And then, you know, the North Carolina kid, a little more of a dual threat guy, heard us running it, and he made a couple of plays there in the drive, and, you know, really got it to our 25, and at that point in time, we got down to, what was it, 10 seconds to go, and, you know, and they taken a shot a couple plays before, and our, you know, their kid had the ball, and our kid just made a great play to knock it out of his hands when he came down with it, and I think Coach Healy, you know, I kind of thought I saw what he was trying to do, and he felt like he had 10 seconds and a timeout, and he was going to take a shot in the end zone to try to, you know, one shot to win it. And then I'm sure they're going to kick it. They have a really solid kicker. So I think, but we had blocked a kick earlier in the day. And, you know, you're talking about a little 25-yard go route, which doesn't take very much time to get it off because it happens pretty fast. And I don't think he probably anticipated our, you know, Joshua Stone King, our kid that's leading the country in sacks and TFLs, he literally threw the tackle into the quarterback. And he just never – he couldn't finish the throw. And we actually had two guys that got great pressure on the quarterback and the ball. You could tell pretty quick it wasn't going to get – you know, wasn't going to get there. And then Jordan Miller, young redshirt freshman, only played, you know, a couple of games that was playing a bunch of snaps in the game. You know, it was kind of like catching a punt at that point in time. You know, and it's like you teach them all year. In that situation, we'd already talked about it, you know, just – really, at that point in time, if you catch the ball, the only way they win probably is if you fumble it. And somehow they either pick it up or come back and kick a field goal. And but he didn't. He ran 95 yards with it. We had a linebacker trying to tell him to get down. He was right on their sideline. So I don't think he felt like anybody was going to hit him. And my wife even asked me what I was thinking. And I said, I was thinking catch it. And then I was thinking get down. And I'm thinking, well, go ahead and score, you know. So it was on the far side of the field from us. So, and you know, we talked to him about it. We said, next time, make sure you get down. That was a good feeling.
Coach, you know, Cole and I in the media game, you know, we focus in on a lot of stats. And I'm sure there are some stats that you do focus on and some that you don't. Here's one that you might not know, that your quarterback, Trey Hedden, and Western Carolina's quarterback, Taron Dickens, are exactly 1 yard apart when it comes to the total number of yards that they've thrown for this season. Now, here's a stat that you probably do know, that 46 straight completions to start their game last week. That's what Taron Dickens was able to achieve against Wofford last week. How do you game plan for a guy and how to break up his passes when he never throws an incomplete pass?
Well, you're right, and the fact is he only played in three games, too, because I think he was suspended for the first three games.
Wow,
so he's done that in three games. But, you know, I tell you what, it'll be a challenge. You know, he is a guy, when you watch him, he's accurate, he's poised, he has great mobility. So, you know, has ability to throw on the run. You know, he's not an easy guy to – they run him some. He will run. But I think even when he's escaping, he's still looking to throw it. But he did. You know, when you have something like that happen, you go back and look at it. Yeah, you got to have a few things go. They made some good catches, but still – you know, I think you and I could get 5 yards apart and throw 46 passes, and one of us probably would drop one or make a bad throw. but it's pretty phenomenal what he did. You know, ball got batted one time that probably should have been a pick, and one of their guys ends up catching it right at the line of scrimmage. I think they had another one that was taken back on a penalty that was an incompletion. But, no, pretty phenomenal. Both those guys are going to, you know, I think he's actually in the 80% maybe.
Wow.
On the year completion-wise.
Jeez.
And you know what? You're not going to stop him. Wofford did a phenomenal job of kind of containing him. They're a group that kind of lives on explosive plays. And they did a good job of, you know, I think he averaged 7 yards an attempt, which if we can hold him 7 yards an attempt Saturday, I feel pretty good about it, you know. And, you know, so that's what it's got to be. I think I think they still want to run it. I think a key for us, like it is every week, is if we can make them one-dimensional and then have a chance. I think Wofford did get 4 sacks, you know, so that's something we got to be able to, when we get a chance to go hit the quarterback, you know, hit him. Like we say, we need good, clean hits on the quarterback, whether he's running or he's in the pocket. We got to be able to pressure him. And so, it'll be a big challenge for us.
Coach, talk about depth on your defensive line, looking at what you guys have done. Do you feel like that was something you didn't have last year when you talk about the struggles? I mean, Stone King's been impressive for you guys, but, man, it looks like you're rotating 7 or 8 guys, getting significant playing time.
Well, you know, the 2 inside guys, we're actually playing 6 guys.
Wow.
We've played 6 guys. We've had one guy that's been out a good bit. Haven't played as many guys on the edges, but we have been able to do that. And you know what? It's funny. It's kind of the same guys that were here last year. The difference was when you rotated them a little bit last year, none of them had ever played. And, you know, so they were trying to figure it out, you know, trying to get a little, you know, production. And, you know, Josh is an interesting guy. You know, we missed the last four games last year with sickness. And somebody asked me, you know, was I surprised at the year he's had? I said, well, no, I've watched him. And, you know, I think great pass rushers, you know, the great ones have power and speed, and he's got both. And I said, I'd nominate him for all conference to start the year, and nobody voted for him very much. I think if he can continue this, I think he'll get a few votes at the end of the year. But he's just been really productive, and you know, I mean, obviously people know where he's at now, but I think we have some other guys who can continue to show up. And I keep telling him, you know, he's getting all that attention should create that many more opportunities for some other guys, you know. So, no, they've been good. Kevin, you know, Kevin Lewis and Dwayne Vaughn coach those guys, and they've done a really good job, you know, doing that, tackles for loss. And I think we've had 10, maybe 10 guys amongst our 16 sacks or whatever the number is we have. And 19 guys involved in our tackles for loss. So I think we've been building some depth there. We've stayed relatively healthy there. So hopefully we can continue that trend.
Coach Clay Hendricks, the head football coach of the Furman Paladins, right here on Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson. Coach, I guess if you're in the business long enough, you're going to have a season go squirrely on you, good or bad. This season, like you were saying earlier, you weren't quite sure what you were going to be good at going into the year, and all of a sudden you're sitting at 4-1. Can you think back to a year that either direction, it was better than you thought, or things just sort of fell apart that kind of really shocked you the most, that things did not go the way that you anticipated they would?
Well, I got so many years they all kind of run together. I can remember some really good teams, you know, that maybe lost a couple of close games that you felt like, you know, you were a player or two away, you know, from being where you wanted to be. You know, at our level, that's maybe the difference in getting in the playoffs or not. You know, fortunately, Furman, we've had high expectations. You know, We've played for 3 national championships. I was here for all 3 of those, and I played in one of the games. And I thought we had about 4, at least 4 other teams that had a great chance to win it. And for whatever reason, maybe you got the wrong guys hurt. I think it's kind of maybe derailed it a little bit. I mean, even one of the years I was at the academy, I was there for 10 years, and we just had one really awful year, and we lost. I think we lost three quarterbacks in maybe the first 3 weeks of the season. And we weren't good in some other spots, too. But I don't know. I think you try to just I've learned to appreciate the good years and appreciate each win, and try not to focus much more on that. You know, and if you can do those things, it give, again, if you can keep winning games, games keep getting bigger, and that, you know, that's what you want to do, and you want to be in those kinds of games. And this will be, that was a fun one Saturday. This will be a fun one to be in this week.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you as always, and best of luck Saturday in getting this team to 3-0 on the road this season. We will talk to you next week, Coach. Good luck.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys. It's always good being with you.
Clay Hendricks, the head football coach of the Furman Paladins. You heard him right here on the Fan Upstate. Diesel, that performance by Trey Hedden, you're talking about 350-plus, one of the top three performances in Furman football history. I mean, that was a huge performance by their quarterback on Saturday, and I think this team's kind of starting to really figure things out.
Yeah, well, he's only a sophomore, so he's got the rest of this season and hopefully two more years right here in the Upstate to show what he can do at the FCS level. And, man, you're talking about, you know, maybe a year from now, 2 years from now, a senior seasoned Trey Hedden.
Yeah.
That feels like the kind of quarterback that could lead this team to something big.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.